Get your pregnant mother out of my fridge. It's time for everyone's favorite pod show, the John Pod. You'll be amazed at what I drag out of my filth cube. Ladies and gentlemen, sit back, enjoy an ice cold beverage, perhaps rub yourself with some form of emollient, and welcome your host, Sean Cullen. Yes, the Sean Pod starts now. The Sean Pod starts now. Ladies and gentlemen, I am delighted to be here. What a delight, as always, on the Sean Pod. We have our good friend Gord Light.
Hello.
Gord Light, a man who brooks no arguments. This man will not allow arguments to happen to his face. Ladies and gentlemen, I am Sean Cullen. I'm a human person living a dream inside of an enigma wrapped in a taco shell and deep fried and covered in cheese and sold for 15 cents more than you would get it at Taco Bell. I am Sean, and this is my pod. I hope you enjoy it. It's very luxuriant inside. As you can see, people who are listening on the radio, it is very soft inside. It's like a giant womb. And everyone in the audience is clinging to polyps that hang from the side of it like tiny, creepy sort of polyp creatures. So that's kind of fun for everyone. You get to keep your polyp as well. You can take it home and give it to the kids to ride around as one of those kind of like ridey balls. You remember those ridey balls that they used to have? The Mattel ridey ball. Get your ball and ride it, kids, they would shout. Get more ridey balls, Mom. Do you remember the theme for ridey ball?
I think so.
Oh.
It's like
I think it goes something like this, doesn't it?
No,
not that.
No.
No, not that. Not there. No?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like...
Get yourself a ridey ball today. Jump on that ball and bounce away. You got a ridey ball. Ridey ball. Ridey ball. Not for children under four. Ridey ball. Oh, I had a ridey ball.
I didn't, but there was a kid across the street who had one, and I was envious.
Oh, my God. Don't let envy rule your life. I'm excited to be here. I'm happy. It's the day after Simcoe Day. Always an amazing day at our house, Simcoe Day. We dress up as Lord Simcoe and deal with people in our neighborhood. I govern over my neighborhood, dressed as Lord Simcoe. It's become a bit of a tradition. I put on a very tight waistcoat and very tight-fitting trousers. And
I love the suspenders, buddy.
What's that? You like the suspenders? Didn't really invite your comment. Still. Thank you. You like the suspenders? These are my holdover from Lord Simcoe. Thank you. Thank you. You are a sharp individual, too. So sharp that perhaps you've been left out too long. A sharp scent. But I was talking about Lord Simcoe, and I put on a very tall stovepipe hat, and I wander through the area, thwarting self-government. It's kind of fun, and then we have fireworks, and then I quell a rebellion. And go to sleep, quite drunk by the end of it. I'm very drunk on brandy, and I'm shouting at native people to please just get away from my house. It's a weird celebration. It's a very long and confusing celebration. But it continues into the night, and then we let off the giant Simcoe Day firecracker, which is really just a house that we burn. We pick one person's house in the neighborhood and we raise it to the ground. It's a random thing, and that's what we do. But remember the old Simcoe Day carols we used to sing?
Oh, yes, I do.
Every holiday should have a carol. Every holiday should have a carol, I think. It's Simcoe Day again. Let's join sing our Simcoe song and maybe smoke a bong on our Simcoe day in the sun. Simcoe day is fun. Come on and burn down a house. You don't know the second verse? Come on down and then we'll find a mouse and we'll sew it in a man's chest. This gets weirder by the day. Simcoe day in the sun. It's lots of fun. And then we would all break out our... Thank you. We break out our Simcoe buns, which are buns, glazed buns, in the shape of Lord Simcoe's face. And we ram our tongues into them to get the cream in the middle and then discard them for the dogs. It's an amazing time, Simcoe Day. It's always one of my favorite holidays. Really enjoy it. We have an amazing pod here today, a podcast. The people are dangling from the polyps. They have no idea what they're in for. Certainly they're in for a polyp day. That's going to be great. But we're going to have guests. We're going to have fun. We're going to have drama. We're going to have tears. We're going to have laughter. We're going to get to know people and our guests. We have one wonderful guest for our first podcast. He is not a pea, but he'll fit in our pod. And we'll sit beside him and try and look identical to him. That's a weird it's a weird pod joke, but I don't know if it should continue to be worked on. I was watching the television. I enjoy the television. Don't you? Yeah, people. Thank you, Whooper. I love the television. You know why? The advertisements. I enjoy them. And so I like to think about them. One that's persisted for centuries is Irish Spring, right? And when I was a child, I was enamored of this green soap that people seemed to want to carve with a knife all the time. That was the thing. You just want, and they'd give it here. What's in it? Nah. Some man with a knife would carve it open, and you'd see exactly what was in it, green things and white streaks. And you'd say, that's the soap for me. You know? And then that went on to
Manly, yes, but I like you too.
And there's always a woman with a big, heavy, white fisherman sweater, angry that she was not getting the soap immediately from a bigger man who seemed to rub it all over himself, and then she would steal it from him. And I don't want to use some... I know that I use soap that other people have used sometimes, but I don't want to take it right from them. I don't want to feel the slickness of their sloughed flesh mixed in with that soap scum. I don't want to feel that right away. I want it to dry, certainly, perhaps, then take out my knife and carve a bit out of it and then rub it on myself. That's what I like to do. Now it's moved on to body wash, which is unbelievable, and there's always... two young ladies, three young Irish lasses, and they're at a waterfall, and then what's happened? All the water's gone. And they look up, and there's a man sucking all of Ireland's goodness into a bottle and going, ha-ha. And, you know, and it's, or there's a man washing in a having a shower in a waterfall. Just like, that's what I do every morning. I go down to the waterfall, I have a good soap up. And they're peering through the bushes at him and giggling. I have always thought that if it was a woman in the waterfall and three guys peering through the bushes, giggling, it's a totally different commercial then. Totally different sort of feel then. Totally perverse. It's creepy. Now... I love this, the iPhone. I just wish it were larger, flatter, and couldn't be used as a phone. The other day, the other day I killed a werewolf, right? And that's a noble thing to do, because they're very difficult to kill. I know you, sir, have probably killed hundreds. But I've killed four werewolves, and this werewolf dies. I shot it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And there it is, dead. And of course, it transforms back into a man, and then the police come. And I'm like, well, it was a werewolf before when I shot him. Now it's a guy with a giant wound in his chest. It was a werewolf, is what I'm trying to tell you. That always happens. I'm charged with murder again. Again charged with murder. All I'm doing is ridding the world of werewolves. Is that such a crime? Obviously, the police think so. Waiting my arraignment out on bail as they examine the silver bullet for fragments. Now, I don't know what it is with the supernatural. I'm tired of it. It's everywhere now. And my mother-in-law, she lives below us in the we have a house with two floors above and one below, and she lives below us, and she's a vampire. She's an older Chinese lady who's a vampire. And you, first of all, you have to fight your way past her. I mean, if you come home after sunset and you want to go upstairs to your apartment, she's all over you, sucking your blood. And then she's sucking the children. She's sucking everything. She sucks everything that moves and takes our blood. And what's annoying is she just sucks enough of me to make me her familiar, but not really to give me full-blown vampire powers, which is annoying because that's what I'd really want. I want to be immortal, never to have a poop again. No, but they do poop. Here's the thing. She sits up there on the eaves troughs at night and just shits on my car. And nothing is worse than the blood shits of a vampire on your car. It just burns right through the true coat. It is a disaster. You will not, it's awful. Oh, my God. But, you know, werewolves, vampires, they're here to stay. There's all these war criminals people have been finding in Canada. They announced, here's a bunch of war criminals, and now everyone's, oh, yeah, there's another one. They're being caught by the dozen. And what was weird was, when the Bosnia, Croatia, the war was going on over there, a guy was working at a pizza restaurant, like ran a successful pizza franchise in Ottawa, and then went back to Bosnia and became head of the Secret Service, the Secret Police, and murdered thousands of people. And I don't know how this job interview went to get that job, but it must have been interesting. I have a very successful pizza business. I deliver pizzas quickly, and they are delicious. But I've always wanted to kill thousands of people. I think the pizza business has prepared me for a job as a mass murderer. I think it's time for me to expand my interests to include mass murder. I will still deliver pizzas. They really run themselves, these pizza franchises. I will murder those I do not like or who you do not like. It does not matter to me. I am equally capable of murdering those I like or dislike or you like or dislike. It doesn't make any difference to me. I will murder everyone. Everyone. And then I will deliver more pizzas. And it's a win-win. For you, I don't know, I'm going to leave that alone now. It is not working. That one is going nowhere. Summertime is beautiful. And you know it's summertime because all the urine flies come out around the urinals. And they buzz around, greeting you as you urinate. It's a magnificent time. Isn't it, Gord?
It's Yes.
Yeah. I remember the songs we used to sing of those pea flies in the ancient days when we were kids standing around the urinal singing those songs. Pea flies, pea flies, the urinal welcomes me. When I have to pee and the flies are there, it brings a tear to my eyes in there. Oh, little pea fly on my pee. What makes it so delicious to you? Do you like the smell or something in the composition of the pea itself? It's a good one.
Ah, it's been years.
It's a very beautiful song. Oh, my goodness. This is one of my favorite things. My daughter is a year and a half. She sits in her car seat, and when she's being difficult, we give her this, and she just sits back there. It's quite exciting because things happen back there. And you're driving, and you're not looking back, and you keep hearing... trying to make up little stories. Oh. That is my favorite. When you're driving in the car and suddenly... Holy shit. What's happened? Why did you clap like that? It's weird. Just because this is clapping, that is the whole... justification for the laugh track right there. You all, it's something, oh, Fonzie walked in. You're all over it. It's terrifying. I love the Lush just down the street. Go in there and buy soap for $1,000 made by a guy with a toque. And it's just great. And you can get these bath bombs, right? And they just throw them and they fizz in the bath. It's great. But I want someone to invent the shower bomb, where you just get in the shower and close the door and drop it. And you're clean! Wouldn't that be fantastic? Yeah. Get on the ball, Lushers. Get on the ball with the bomb. All right. Now, maybe it's time to bring up our very special guest for today. He's a wonderful man, and I hope he knows who he is, because he is a treasure, a national treasure. In fact, people keep trying to bury him on beaches with big X's that they lay over top of him, but he struggles out each time. I know, it's not, that's not good. Gord is just humoring me right now. He is. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage the beautiful and talented Ron Sexsmith. Is he here? Yeah. Just play something. Here he comes, it's Ron, it's Ron. Why don't you go over there, Ron, and sit on that stool? Don't play the fool.
Put my jacket on.
Yeah, it's so cool with the jacket on.
Where are the cameras, eh?
There are no cameras.
Oh, there are no cameras.
Yeah, this is just for the human ear.
Oh, I see.
That's right. That's why I'm wearing no pants and a giant plexiglass cube over my genitals.
Oh. Nice.
How are you doing today, Ron?
I'm doing pretty well, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm great. Now, you just came back from Japan,
is that correct?
And what happened there?
No, you
can.
Boy, are my arms tired.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, I know.
That's a good joke.
Is that Henny Youngman?
No, is it?
I don't know.
I'm sure it's someone like that. I like Henny Youngman.
I don't really know enough to
Well, here, I'll give you one of his classics.
Let's hear it.
hey, take my wife, please. Why do Jewish women die before... Oh, no, sorry. Why do Jewish men die before their wives? They want to. That's his joke. He also did. I was in a restaurant, and I ordered the lobster, and they brought me one with only one claw, and I said to the waiter, "What happened?" He said, "They fight in the tank," and I said, "Bring me the winner."
Wow, that's some good stuff. Comedy
that's a
gold.
Good joke.
Comedy gold. I make up my own jokes from time to time.
Yeah,
as well,
you know what? That's cool.
Yeah.
Because you're a maverick.
You know why I don't read Stephen King?
Why?
Because I've heard horror stories.
Oh. That's good.
I made that one up.
That's a pretty good one.
And I bought a vintage jacket once.
Really?
And in the pocket there was a packet of Tic Tacs.
Oh.
In mint condition.
Oh, that's a piece of sweet
that's
delight.
Good, that's comedy gold right there.
Yeah, I have one.
Okay, let's see.
What's
hear it.
Brown and sits in a toilet in a Dutch attic?
I give up.
The diarrhea of Anne Frank.
Nice. Wow. Wow. I've got nothing.
I love that joke.
That's a great joke. It's so tragic.
It is, and true.
And true.
Because if you were hiding in an attic, there'd be a lot of tension and probably a lot of colitis and bowel problems.
So it's just been sitting there since the 40s, I guess?
Well, they hid it so well.
Right.
The Nazis never really looked in the toilet because it was really just a one tiny cubicle, and who could hide in there?
That's true, yeah. Well, that's a good one. I got to remember that one.
Diarrhea of Anne Frank.
That's beautiful.
Now, you were just in Japan,
yeah.
And how was the mood there? People excited?
Well, it was the Fuji Rock Festival, which is, I don't know if you've heard about it, but it's one of the biggest rock festivals, and Coldplay, all these, big acts. I think it was good, because I had my reservations about going, and I was a bit worried about
sure.
all the. Whatever the earthquakes and things like that, and there actually were a few earthquakes while I was there, so I couldn't wait to get home, But everyone was, I think it meant a lot to people for us to show up and play some music, because they've kind of had a rough year,
They sure did.
And,
now,
I got another joke for you.
Okay.
Is that sushi in your pocket, or are you happy sashimi? Okay.
So Japan was happy to see you.
Yeah,
I guess.
They were very happy to see me, and but it was
happy sashimi.
But my That's body is still because I flew in on Thursday, played Friday, and I flew home on Saturday. So my body is just going.
It was in and out.
What the fuck was that? Yeah, it's crazy. So I don't wish that on anyone.
Are the toilets fun there?
Well, the best part of Japan. Well, one of the great things about Japan is they have these magical toilets. That are completely hands-free. You just press a button and you just sit and it does all the work for you.
It reaches up into your ass?
It does, yes. Well, there's a picture of a bum with water squirting up it.
Oh.
And then there's another picture of a bum with air squirting up it. So it kind of washes and then dries you. And then,
but there's a step before that, isn't there, where you expel something into
well,
the
toilet? Well, no, definitely. I mean, I'm talking, this is, you do your you do your work, your best work.
My
you
best
your,
work
and
is
then,
sitting down.
And then there's these little buttons there you can, and if you want to do it the old-fashioned way, you can too, but they
but
just have these sort of...
But isn't your bowel movement lying there in the bowl, and then you push a button and it shoots back up at you?
Well, no, you flush first.
Oh.
Yeah, and then you do the
Seems bizarre.
Yeah. But they
I would be worried.
They think of everything,
I would be worried about Mount Fuji.
Well,
because, there's supposedly a dragon living beneath it. And at any point, Coldplay could enrage it with one of their feel-good rock songs.
Yeah.
Things like, I got my records on, I got my pants in tune, I got my legs
explode. Is that a Coldplay song?
Yeah, it's a new one.
Okay. Sing it in a high falsetto, though.
I got my records on. I got my teeth got shined.
It's weird. I've done a few tours with Coldplay a few years back, and I hadn't seen them in a long time because now they're on Planet Coldplay. Like when I toured with them, they were still on on the way up. And now you can't get near them. But I was my dressing room was just down the hall from there, so I got to see Chris Martin and
nice.
And he's been I don't know if you've seen him lately, but he's been like he's bulking up. He's like Rambo now. He's got these big arms.
Well,
and
you have to rock hard.
I guess so.
You have to get built. Ron?
But he's, I guess I know I'm working on it. I've kind of got
you really are a powerful specimen.
Well, I wouldn't I think say that so much. But
I think I dare anyone in this crowd.
I've got sort of washed tub abs, I like to say. Yeah.
It's nice. Yeah. I like a smoothness in a man.
Yeah. No, but I'm trying. I've got some dates at the end of the month that I'm trying to lose some weight and get into rock star mode, rock star shape.
Sure.
Know, if I can. And because, you know, people are looking at you all the time, right?
They certainly are.
And if I'll be playing and if I look out in the audience and I see someone whisper something to someone else, it totally throws me off. Because I'm thinking automatically they're saying something bad about me. When they could be saying something like, you know, nice shirt or something like that, you know. So it's weird, you know, it plays games with your head, you know.
You have these conversations
as I'm
in
singing
your
my
mind
song,
with
my song.
The people who are watching the show,
well,
like, nice shirt Ron's wearing.
Yeah.
Do you think they really do like your shirt?
I have no idea what they're saying, but I tend to go to a sort of a negative place when I'm playing, especially if I'm not feeling presentable or whatever, you know. So, but I don't know if you ever experienced these sort of.
Look at me, Ron. I'm always not very presentable.
We could be brothers, practically. We both have.
Well,
round,
we both have that hair that expands in the humidity.
My hair doesn't grow down; it sort of grows up and out, sort of. You know.
It's wiggy.
It's wiggy.
Yeah. So now.
The other thing my hair does too, it does this weird thing where I don't know if these yours do this, where it goes. I try to part it, and it goes way out here, like Herbie from the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Sure, or Waldo, if you take his hat off.
I wish it wouldn't do that, so.
It's okay. Let it go, Ron.
It's hot up here. I'm taking my jacket
off. You're going to take it? Yeah. Holy, look at his ripped abs. This guy's built. Now, you just have a new album out. It's been released about, 6 months?
March, yeah. March. Relatively new record.
And
got nominated for the Polaris, actually.
Polaris?
Yeah. I'm not fishing or anything. I was just disappointed.
These people cannot affect that in any way.
But I was surprised though because I was under the impression that it's mostly sort of independent, alternative kind of cutting edge things that get. That was my impression, you know. So I thought I would have to grow a beard and call myself. Mountain Lion or something like this, you know, and to be nominated.
I am Mountain Lion.
You know, because a lot of
songwriters
these days, they don't use their name. They call themselves something else. You know? And I wish I would have thought of that earlier. You know?
Well, should we come up with a new name for you?
Parking meter. I don't know. What do you call it?
Parking
meter.
What,
I don't know. What do you want to call
it? That would be good.
Yeah.
Ram your quarters in me. I'm parking meter. Well, Sheepdogs got on the cover of Rolling Stone now. Did you see that?
Well, there was a contest, actually.
Yeah,
right?
Contest.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's
why didn't you enter?
I didn't know about it. I didn't even know about the Polaris thing. I don't know how I got nominated. So,
you're up against Arcade Fire.
Arcade Fire.
The Beatles.
The Beatles, yeah.
Anybody else?
No, I'm trying to think. I don't actually remember who else is nominated.
Do you look at that whole, all the people who are nominated and go, yeah, I'm totally beating them. Those people suck.
Yeah.
I'm almost as good as Arcade Fire.
Yeah.
I'm hotter than the girl who plays violin in Arcade Fire. I'm going to win. Do you do that? Do you try and eliminate the competition?
I don't know what my chances are. It sounds kind of like a cliche, but I was just so surprised that they noticed me. So, but if you win, you get $30,000, which is huge, right?
What would you buy with it?
I don't know what I would buy. I'd probably buy a year's supply of Captain Crunch or something like that, you know?
Well, that's a good thing, which, you know, because if you really want to toughen up your palate.
Well, that's what we'll need to eat at the end of the world, you know, because it's, the shards of corn, basically.
Shards of corn.
Yeah.
The Ron Sexsmith story.
Yeah. I think I would just put it towards my next record. I don't know what do people do with it.
Do you write every day?
I do write. I have a whole album written right now. I'm just trying to figure out who to work with or who...
Would you like me to produce it?
I would love you to, What have you produced so far?
Well, I have 3 children.
Oh.
That's about it. Some weird smells as well. And I once created a fire with my mind.
It's nice.
It's not helpful in the studio.
Well, not so much.
No. I'm wondering... do you think that you would be interested right now in doing what I like to call impromptu radio theater?
I would, yeah. Do I need my glasses for this, though?
Do you, you have to read. Do you have eyes
how
that
big,
work?
How big is the...
There's that, what the size of it is. Can you read that?
Well, I'll try.
Okay, and I'll be one character. You're the Ron character.
Oh, I see my name Ron right there. Okay.
All right.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, impromptu radio theater. Ron has not seen this, so please boo him if he fails. Impromptu radio theater now. Welcome to another episode of Sean Cullen's Impromptu Radio Theater. Today, we have a dramatic story. High on the rooftop, overlooking a busy street below, a man contemplates ending his life. He is Ron Sexsmith, and this is his story.
Well, this is it. I'm never going to have a number one hit single. This world just doesn't want me. I'm going to end it all. Here I go.
Whoa there, big fella.
What the? Hey, you saved me.
Sure I did.
Hey, wait a minute. Aren't you Bing Crosby?
You got that right there, Fluffy.
Wow, Mr. Crosby, I'm a huge fan.
Call me Bing.
Well, thanks, Bing. Wow, I've always loved you. You're my hero. I remember when I was a kid, I used to sit naked in the bathtub and pretend I was your hat.
You and billions of other boys, bub.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you're a legend. Bing, I have to ask you, how can I get a number one hit?
Boy, oh boy, buddy, it's easy. Oh, yeah, it's all in the bees.
The bees?
Yeah, bees, the big one, baby. Get a bee in your bonnet. Billy Bubble Bum Bag Basketball.
So all I have to do is use more bees?
Bet your butt, Biatchoslav.
So instead of writing a song like Strawberry Blonde, it should be...
Blueberry Blonde. Bingo.
Interesting. Instead of God Loves Everyone, it should be...
Bob Loves Beverly Bun. Babbo.
I see. Instead of Secret Heart, then it should be...
You can do it.
Beach Nut Bowel?
Bang!
Or does that say bowl? I can't read it.
Bowel.
Okay,
buddy.
Bowel. I thought it said bowel.
You got it, buddy. Before long, you'll be banging bosomy broads backwards of the buckwheat.
And biting their billowy buttocks.
Bada-bing! Well, I got a blow. I'll be seeing you, big boy.
Bye-bye, Bing. Bing, before you go, would you sing a duet with me?
I'd be glad to.
Oh, nice.
Hit it.
Okay.
Well, I saw a man on a roof, and I thought, hey, he's gonna jump off of that roof. Take it, kid.
I wanted to end it all, but
and he would bounce like a basketball.
Man, I'm not good at this improvising stuff. How do you do it? What's your secret?
Well, you just gotta let it flow. You gotta imagine you're eating a drink, drinking a great big glass of orange juice. The kids will come running, Nathaniel, Davey, hurry up with that orange juice.
Do you know any actual Bing songs? Do you know anything like,
Would you like to swing on a star?
Do you know that one over there? Does he know?
Can he move beams home in a jar? And I can sing this to any melody. Fuck you, Ron. You're trying to blow my bullshit up here. Give me a break, Ron. Give me a big break.
Okay, well, that was some weird radio drama. That was fun. Ron, that was amazing.
Yeah, I'm sorry I couldn't help you out with the improvised
thing. I know, you're a man who's methodical.
I like to write songs and then actually sing the songs that I've written. So.
Really?
Yeah. But
that's weird.
Yeah. No, well, see, when you're writing, you come up with a lot of really stupid stuff that nobody hears. Thankfully.
I just do it.
You just do it. I respect that.
My stuff is just stupid. And it's kind of, I kind of revel in it. Ah. I kind of welcome that part of my life. Maybe you'd be a big star like me if you let go.
I need to let go.
You do.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, I think we're a lot alike in a lot of ways. Our hair.
Right.
Our massive strength.
Yeah.
Our
keep talking.
Love of Bing Crosby.
Yeah.
Our fear of Bing Crosby.
Well, as a child, maybe.
Well, yeah. I mean, you and I would both sit naked in the bathtub pretending to be Bing Crosby's head.
Yeah.
Those are magical times.
It's kind of the thing that brings us together, doesn't it?
Yeah.
One of the things, anyway.
I would say. Now, you do most of your writing. You play. You're famous for your guitar work.
Well, I play guitar and I play.
But you write on the piano, don't you?
I write piano. Yeah, a little bit. I write on both. Piano is like, is my kind of. I don't play very well, so I like to write on it because I tend to stumble onto things. You know. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, sure. All of your stuff is mistakes.
Basically. That's what I was trying to say.
Stuff that you just fell into.
Exactly. And no, I mean, I kind
of... What song are you most proud of?
Most proud of?
Of all of the songs you've written.
Of mine? Wow. That's a tough one, you know. I think there's one called Wasting Time. I was like that one. I was proud of that one. I was proud of, I don't know, they're all kind of like my babies, you know?
Some of them you just don't like, they're ugly.
Yeah,
babies,
some of the ugly step kids and stuff, yeah. No, but, they're all kind of, you're always sort of hoping that they're gonna go out in the world and succeed somehow, you know? And, but I don't do anything else, I do just one thing. I just write kind of compulsively, you know, and obsessively, and, yeah, and I don't know how to put up a painting or drive a car or make toast, you know?
Jeez, that's a sad life.
It is a sad story, yeah.
So if I came over to your house,
yeah,
you would have toast on the wall, well, a car in the kitchen. You would be totally fucked up, is what you're saying.
Oh,
you would have no idea how to do anything.
Yeah.
So it's amazing to me that you could sit on a Japanese toilet and pick the correct buttons.
Well, I could tell that it was supposed to be a bum with water squirting up, so I put that together. So,
well, that's a beautiful visual aid.
Yeah.
Very rarely do public signs show bums.
No, I know. Although sometimes
shit
you see,
here.
But there are signs that show
arrow.
There are signs that show dog poo sometimes.
Oh yeah,
the dog signs.
Do you ever think being a dog? There's two sides of it. Being a dog is either incredibly humiliating or wonderfully liberating.
Yeah.
Because, you know, often you see dogs and they're out in the park and they're just squatting and driving a turd out. And their faces are like, oh, everybody's watching. And there's other dogs who are like, yep, taking a shit. Deal with that. It's a big one. Pick it up in a bag. Write a song about that, Ron.
All right, that'll be
shit
my
shit bag.
It's a shit bag life.
Is that supposed to be me?
That's you. Yeah, I'm doing an impression of you.
Nice.
I saw her holding a shit bag.
It sounds like Kermit the Frog a little bit.
Weird.
Yeah?
No.
Yeah.
Ron, I thank you for being
thanks
here.
Thanks for having me.
I didn't mean to bring it down to that level where you're suddenly a frog man.
No, but I wish I could have improvised the song, but I felt of my element. You
I really pushed you into a corner there.
A little bit, yeah.
Then I didn't even hold you.
Hold my head down in the corner.
Why would I hold your head down in the corner?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a weird image.
Yeah, underwater, I don't know.
I took you to an underwater corner and held your head down.
Yeah. Hey, did you hear that in the news today? They think they found a spaceship underwater.
A spaceship?
Yeah, over in Sweden or something like that, yeah.
In Sweden?
They won't say what it is, but it's a round object that they found like 300...
meters.
What is it? Meters under the sea or whatever. Yeah, or leagues or whatever it is.
Leagues?
I don't know.
Jesus.
Your word, not mine.
Not only is it a spaceship, it's a Swedish spaceship. That is insane.
So anyway, I'm sorry to
Yeah, you really took it in a different direction there.
Yeah.
Thought we were wrapping up, but then the spaceship popped up. I don't know. How would that change your writing, do you think, as an artist? Do you think everything would be irrelevant if suddenly there was aliens? And people were like, yeah, I'd love to listen to your record, Ron, but my house is being melted by a beam of some kind.
Right.
My dog turned to dust. Would anybody still want music?
There's always something more pressing than whatever I'm doing, you know what I mean? So it's aliens or there's some awful thing going on in the world. So, but yeah, you know, in my corner of the world, it's huge, right? Every song, you know. But it's in the grand scheme of things, it's very small, I think, insignificant, you know.
It's not.
Wouldn't you say so?
No.
Hey, there's this bug flying around. Have you seen this bug? What is that?
That's Randy.
Oh, it's okay.
He's our sound engineer.
Oh, yeah.
He flies around all over the room to check the acoustics. Sometimes he lights for moments at a time.
Right.
Then just flies off to adjust the frequencies.
Nice.
He doesn't like the low freaks.
No.
He likes it tinny because his voice is like this. So everybody comes out sounding like, hey, thanks for coming, Ron. It's not very good. Thank you very much
for
coming,
having me.
Ron. It's
Thank
a pleasure.
You.
You're a good man. And a beautiful jacket. Oh, it's beautiful. Well, there you go.
No, that was terrible.
Things got mysterious at the end there. That's amazing. Well, should we sing a little song and then take a small break?
Sure.
And, you know, who knows what can happen. Maybe I'll be massaged by antler people.
There's a good chance.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm ready. Antlers look hard, but they're all downy on there. They're beautiful.
Yeah, okay.
Was this Brian Eno's?
No.
Christmas party.
I'm finding my spots.
Welcome to my Christmas party. I'm Brian Eno. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. Something shooting out of my skull. It's a tiny wig. It's a tiny leg. It's a tiny piece of chicken. Put it in a bag. Take it to your mom. Give her a little Christmas kiss. Take it to a palm tree, put it in a coconut, go and show me your wrist. Christmas time, Christmas time. Get in the sled and squat your legs, squat your legs. Drop on down, put a little poo-poo on the sled, and then a man comes up with a plastic bag. Then that man comes up with a plastic bag. Plastic bag. Plastic bag. It's a plastic bag. What's a plastic bag? That's a plastic bag. It's a plastic bag. Everybody, it's a plastic bag. It's a plastic bag. It's a plastic bag. Angry, it's a plastic bag. Sweet, it's a plastic bag. And lazy, plastic bag. It's a plastic bag. It's a plastic bag. It's a plastic bag. It's a plastic bag.
It's a plastic bag.
This is getting weirder all the time. Thank you, people. Life is like a plastic bag. You get out of it what you put into it. Sometimes it just blows away up into the tree. And you look at it out your window in the wintertime, wondering when it'll ever blow away. It lingers and lingers like a dream, a ragged dream, a plastic dream. It's a plastic bag of a dream in a blank. in a bag, in a dream, in a dream, in a bag. Put your bag in a dream, put your dream in a bag, and take it down to the slag heap. Tip it out and pour it on top. Then go home and call the cops. Say somebody stole my dream. Put it in a bag and threw it in a stream with a rock. And now it's sunk. What's that? Something skunk. I think it was a little baby skunk. It's come to my house and wants a chunk of something to eat. Maybe some meat, maybe a frite, maybe a petite pommes frites, which is a French frite. Oui. It's time to say goodbye. This has been the Sean Pod with Ron Sexsmith and the beautiful Gord Light. Thank you. We'll have a short break, and we'll be back.